Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
All right, so let's see. Let me see if I got this right. Markets up, markets down. Interest rates look like they might be coming up, but that means bond prices go down. And what else? Well, we've had historically low interest rates and bond yields, and there's a lot going on. It's got people nervous. Are you nervous? I know a lot of people that are. They come in and see me on a weekly basis, and they want to know what to do with their money. And of course, that's what I do every day. That's my day job. This is my gig that I do to let you know what I do and to also help educate my listeners about financial stuff. Well, to help do that, I have a serious educator, researcher, and PhD all rolled together in Wade Fowle, who is the professor of retirement income with the American College. And I know about the American College because two of the designations I hold, the Chartered Life Underwriter and the Chartered Financial Consultant, that I got way back in the early 90s, I got from that college. And the website we'll be referring to for our program is retirementresearcher.com. Wade, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you're with us because you're going to help us with that very, very, very smart PhD brain of yours. Help us understand what's happening with the markets and interest rates. And I know you told me before we started, you have a crystal ball, so you can tell me what the market's going to do, right? All right.
Not exactly.
I won't hold you to that. But what you can help us understand with your research and your background and your studies and all of what you do, I know you can help us understand, at least statistically and or historically or both, what happens when certain conditions are met, what happens typically or often, and help us understand where we're headed with all of this, which is the market and these historically low rates. And so I know that you, just to fill out the resume a little bit, you've got a number of original achievement on your biography, your CV, as they call it. You earned your PhD in economics from Princeton back in 2003. You became a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst. Folks out there, that's what that's called. That's a CFA in 2011. That's like the CPA of investments. And you had various contributions to the financial and investment world. Notable, you had contribution to the Retirement Income Certified Professional Designation at American College. You have also made several awards. I love this one. You were selected to the Investment News Power 20 for people expected to shape the financial advisory industry in 2013. So, Wade, that's some pretty solid achievement. So thanks again for being willing to spend your time talking to us on this program.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's my pleasure.
All right. Well, I'm going to make the most of our time here, and I will, if I start acting like I'm just listening to you and I'm not interviewing, will you remind me? Because I find what your research fascinating. Okay, so here's the crux of where we are, and I set it up at the beginning of the program. We've got a stock market that's come up pretty significantly. Most people would agree since March of 2009, more than doubled. We've got very, very low rates. We've got people, of course, that are concerned about what our economy is going to do, what that means for the market. Still concerned about unemployment. Of course, I'm not even going to talk about politics because that's not what our show's about. But there's a lot going on. And at the same time, we have a ever-increasing longevity. People are living longer, and that's getting longer while we're talking. So when you put all that together, here's a $24 million question. We put all that together, where does that put us?
Yeah, well, that question, I think we really want to focus in on, it relates to how much can you withdraw from your portfolio in
okay.
retirement, right? And the classical answer we've had since the 1990s is it's based on something called the 4% rule.
Which was never intended as a rule. It was just kind of a starting point, right?
Right. And actually, it was intended to bring expectations down at the time.
Okay.
Prior then, people had just plugged in numbers into a spreadsheet and said, well, if the stock market returns 7% after inflation on average, you should be able to withdraw 7% a year in retirement and never run out of money.
Yeah, and that's bad because that did not play out, and a lot of people's retirements were literally crushed. And I remember seeing having people bring stuff like that into me. I'm like, uh-uh, we're not planning on any 12% returns and 7% withdrawal rates the rest of your life. So
right.
This 4% rule has been used as a way to kind of bring that down and set expectations. Is that 4% withdrawal rate, in maybe given some of what I described at the beginning of the program, is that sustainable? Is that going to carry the retirees today and those that are going to be retiring? Is that sustainable for them and for their retirements?
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's one of my concerns. First, you have to understand, so what the 4% rule comes from, it's William Bengen. He's a financial planner based out of California, and he looked at the U.S. historical data and just, well, imagined you have a retiree who has spent a 30-year retirement starting in 1926 to 1955, and then looking at every 30-year period in U.S. history, and found the worst case in U.S. history happened in the 1960s, I think 1965 in particular, the highest sustainable withdrawal rate. So the question here is, what percent of your retirement date assets can you withdraw? And then that amount of money, you adjust for inflation in the subsequent years and not run out of money for at least 30 years. And he found that the worst case scenario in U.S. history was just above 4%.
Okay, well, that's where it comes from. That's one of the 50,000 things that I needed to know before before I run out of time. That's an interesting perspective. So the 4% rule was based on some of this original research or review of history, but you've got some concerns, which we'll go to a quick break. We'll come back. That this may not be sustainable based on some of the recent research.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this short break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are with Dr. Wade Fowle, who is our guest today. He's professor of retirement income at the American College, a well-respected organization, and glad to have him on the program. And we were talking before the break, Wade, about the 4% rule and how that was based on a historical review of basically 30-year periods, 1926, 30 years, 1927, 30 years. And you go and look at all those and see which one did the worst. And that's kind of where the 4% rule came from. But as is often the disclaimer, prior performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. Investment results can and will vary, and you may incur a profit or loss. So the key is to make these studies that were done relevant to today. And I think one of the things, if I understood correctly and kind of looking at some of your material, is you have some concerns about where we are with this, maybe with people applying this going forward because of how low the recent interest rates have been and what that means in terms of the reliability of some of people's expectations about this rule. Is that a fair way to kind of describe where you're coming from?
Yeah, that's right. So looking at interest rates, I can't say whether interest rates are going to go up or go down in the future. I don't have that crystal ball. But one thing that's clear, though, is that you can predict what are the returns on future interest rates going to be, and they're pretty closely connected to where interest rates, I mean, the returns on owning bonds are going to be pretty closely connected to what interest rates are today. So the fact that interest rates are so low means that investors are going to experience low bond returns in the future. Something else that's important to remember here, the reason that the 4% rule is the 4% rule. The reason that the sustainable withdrawal rate is perhaps less than the return on the underlying, the average return on the portfolio, is when you get into retirement, what happens in the early part of retirement has a much bigger impact on the final result. You're taking income out of your portfolio, and then even if your portfolio has a high average return, if the portfolio drops in the beginning of retirement and you're taking income, even though the markets recover, the retiree's portfolio itself doesn't get to fully recover because they've been taking income out.
When we say income, you know, make sure our listeners are clear, we're really talking about cash flow out of the portfolio, because that could be interest, dividends, capital gains, or principal. And so they're eating into a lot of principal if early on, even if they have high returns later, if they are pulling a lot of the money out and it's not earning enough, or if they have losses, it can really shorten how long that money's going to last.
Right. The 4% rule is based on the idea that you're taking that cash flow out of the portfolio, not really paying particular attention whether it's interest or dividends or principal part of it.
That's excellent. So, and I've heard some people call it the sequence of return. It's basically looking at, you know, you have an average 12% return for a 30-year period, but that's the average looking at all the years. But if you have three down years, say a negative 10, a negative 15, and a negative 20 in the first 3 years that you retire, that's not going to be good.
Right. And that's the problem with having the low bond yields today, that a lot more of that spending is going to come from principal rather than interest if you're spending more than the interest or coupons you're getting on your bonds.
So okay,
you're spending down that principal.
So you've got two pieces to most people's portfolios that are investing, and I'm not getting into insurance space just right now. The typical portfolio, stocks and bonds, underpins a lot of portfolios and underpins mutual funds. That's what's inside most of them. So when we look at that mix of what's going to be in there, you've got stocks and bonds, and because the bond yields are so low, you're almost assured that, you know, if you take out a certain amount of money, yeah, a little bit might be interest, but a lot of it is the bond's principal, and that's really going to pull down on how much you're able to get out of this thing over time.
Right. So that's the problem on the bond side, that we have these historically low bond yields. So even though 4% had worked in the past always, we're experiencing, well, at the low end of that situation where we're down to just questioning whether or not 4% will continue to work. Part of it is just, you know, historically 4% did work, but things could have gone the other way. It was like a flip of the coin. 4% might have worked, it might not have worked. The way the sequence of returns worked in the past, it worked. 4% worked.
But I got you.
We're now at this situation again with the historically low bond yields, and we can't necessarily rely on 4% continuing to work in the future.
But there's another part of this that I think is equally, if not even more important, because the potential for loss, and that is with the equity side of it. So you have this CAPE. That's the other piece of this. What is that?
Yeah, that's the cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio. It's something that the famous investor Benjamin Graham dreamed up and developed in the 1930s. And Robert Shiller, a professor at Yale University, popularized it again in the 1990s, where he just demonstrated that if you take, well, just the earnings on the underlying stocks in a stock index like the S&P 500, if you take those earnings and then the price of the stocks, the price divided by the earnings, but you use a cyclically adjusted measure, the average earnings over the past 10 years, then you get this cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio. And it's not a super tight relationship, but there is a connection where when the markets are more overvalued, you should expect lower stock returns in the future.
Sure.
And vice versa. If the markets are undervalued, then you can expect, or historically there's been higher stock returns in the subsequent years.
And so with that said, can you give us an idea of where we are now with that piece of it?
Yeah, we're now at a stage where markets are significantly overvalued according to the cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio. And I believe that measure is in the neighborhood of 24 or 25 these days. Its historical average is closer to 16. There haven't been that many cases where we've seen this high of measure. It peaked at one point just before the Great Depression in 1929. It's that cyclically adjusted measure got up to about 29. And then in 1999 and the start of 2000, it reached a new historical high that was in the mid-40s, it was like 60% higher than it ever been prior to that time. And we've had this decade since the 2000s was not a very good decade for investors. But the markets have been going up, and now this measures on the high end again, 24, 25. So we have this double whammy now that really hasn't been experienced, low bond yields at the same time of a overvalued stock market.
Okay, well, that is a perfect place to take a break, because I'm going to ask you when we come back, Wade, what to do and talk about maybe some strategies, including mix of stocks and bonds. Dr. Wade Fowle is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, professor of retirement income, the American College, right back after the short break.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And welcome back. Dr. Wade Fowle is our guest today. RetirementResearcher.com is his website. And we're talking about where we are with some of the different things that could get in the way of a retirement that lasts your lifetime. And we talk about maybe the difficulty of the sustainability of this 4% rule that's been used often by people to set how they're going to draw their income for retirement. Now, we talked about before the break, Wade, about the challenges with the current valuations and also the bond yields. So with that said, there's a couple of questions that I think are real helpful for people to think about. One of them is, given that, what's an appropriate mix of stocks versus bonds for somebody to have if they are, you know, getting ready to retire and then try to draw their money out?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so it can be a difficult question to answer. The studies from this kind of 4% rule safe withdrawal rate perspective tend to provide higher answers for stock allocations than you might typically hear from other sources. So William Bengen, who set the original 4% rule, his original finding was to have between 50 and 75% stocks, but as close to 75% stocks as possible. Later, some of that could be relaxed when you look at it in different ways. Actually, there's a wide range of stock allocations anywhere between, say, 30% and 80% that tend to provide the same kind of estimate of the highest sustainable withdrawal rate in a worst-case scenario. Of course, the higher the stock allocation, the more your wealth might grow on average. But when looking at the worst-case type scenarios, anywhere between 30 and 80% stocks tends to be giving similar results. The stock allocation cannot get too low because bond yields are so low.
Yeah.
If you're 100% bonds, you're basically locking in that you're going to have a low withdrawal rate. If, to make just one simple example, if you're planning for 30 years and interest rates are zero, which is not necessarily all that far off the mark, it's a little bit low, but the interest rates across the board are zero, then your withdrawal rate over 30 years would be 3.3%. And that's kind of the starting point. It's very unlikely that 4% is going to be sustainable, with at least with a portfolio of government bonds. If you're willing to add some of the credit risk by using corporate bonds, you might be able to build a higher withdrawal rate.
Well, one of the things from your recent analysis back in April is you, even when you did a 40% with, what did you use? You used a mix, and there was only a 50% chance of it making it and running all the way out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was we looking at a 40% stock allocation.
Okay.
And based on the interest rates earlier in the year, it was looking to be about a coin flip, about a 50-50 chance. Or I think it was a 57% failure rate, a 43% chance that the 4% rule would be successful with that kind of environment.
See, that's a pretty tough thing to accept, because, you know, we're talking about people's retirements, and I'm going to tell you right now, for anybody who's listening, I'm not about to flip a coin and tell my, we might make it, we might not. And I think that's one of the fallacies or one of the challenges of trying to just say, okay, I'm going to draw out whatever the percent is, you know, 4 or 5% coming out of their portfolio. I've seen 4 and 6% used a lot. And that's where I think that people really need to sit down. And I know that, of course, you're very well aware of all of this, Wade, that people sit down with somebody who actually planned this out for them, because I mean, you're really, I was going to say roll the dice, but you made it much more simpler. That's how many outcomes you have with a roll of dice. We've got two with a coin. It's either going to work or not work. In fact, I heard, and I know you know Nick Murray, I heard him speak the other day. He's a well-known financial services speaker, and he said, he had a great quote that he gave to the conference I attended, and I've been sharing this with people coming in to visit with me, asking for some help with their finances. When you retire, all the financial questions, they coalesce down to one. Are you going to outlive your money, or is your money going to outlive you? And so this is something that we need to really focus in on, because just saying, well, I'm going to use a, you know, X percent, 40-60 allocation, and I hope it works, and I'm going to draw out 4%, and the broker says it's okay. The stakes are huge. Plan might not work.
Right, and it's just a matter that a lot of people just got too much focused on the U.S. historical returns and are not fully appreciating. They tend to make their Monte Carlo simulations trying to simulate the performance based on historical averages. And so they use an inflation-adjusted bond return of 2.5%. But when bond yields are so much lower than that, that number is not an appropriate assumption to use. If you use that assumption, then you get that the 4% rule has something like a 95% chance for success. But if you try to incorporate something that more closely reflects the fact that bond yields are so much lower than that, and that today's bond yields are the best predictors of the subsequent bond returns, you get a much higher failure rate when looking at something like the 4% rule.
Well, and I'll tell you what really gives me pause and makes me get concerned is when people are going to be drawing income from a bond portfolio. If they're not careful, they could be pulling it out when those bond prices are dropping. You've been talking about the return on the bond, but or the yield to the investor, but then there's the other side of it, that those bond prices are falling as yields rise, if they rise. A lot of people, you know, that's one of the things being talked about. Then they might be having to cash in. And so instead of, you know, a 30 years at 3.3% withdrawal, we have some of those early losses on the bonds could really shorten the longevity of the money or have to have a much lower withdrawal rate.
Right. Yeah. If people hold their bonds in mutual funds and are otherwise not holding specific bonds to their maturity dates, then the price of those bonds decreases when interest rates rise and people can lose savings. I mean, the value of their bond portfolio can decline as interest rates go up. And I think sometimes people don't necessarily realize that. They think, well, if they hold a bond mutual fund, their money is protected. But it can experience capital losses.
Well said, Wade. Well said. We're going to take another quick break and we'll come back. Dr. Wade Fowle is our guest, professor of retirement income, the American College, retirementresearcher.com. Right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Dr. Wade Fowle on our line today, professor of retirement income, the American College, and we're digging into some nuts and bolts here, and I know it's a little technical, but it's important. And to sum up so far, we've got to be very careful with how we plan our retirements. Fair enough, Wade?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that in a nutshell? I mean, we really need to be careful. We've got to be careful to rely on historical data. It can be indicative, but it may not be. And we need to be very mindful of how and where we draw our money. I use a term, and this is probably somebody else has coined it, but I use a term. I wrote a couple of books, and in one of them, I talk about the dangers of pulling money out of something while it's going up and down. And whenever it goes down, of course, you're doing the opposite of dollar cost averaging. You're doing what I call dollar cost ravaging, which is this playing out this, you know, the sequence of events and the sequence of returns when they're negative, and it can really, really hammer the longevity or the sustainability of your, you know, your retirement. So I'm very concerned, and I deal with this on an everyday basis working with people, and I got a real life story. You know, I have a person that just came in and they showed me what they've got in their investments. They are worried. They invested fortuitously back in the late 2008, early 2009. Their accounts are up more than double. They've been drawing money every month. They've gotten away with having it invested, so to speak, and drawing against it, as I would not advise, but they got away with that because their accounts are going up. despite the withdrawals. Now they're concerned because of some of the things you've talked about early in the program, bond yields and the valuations of the market. And now their question to me is, how do we keep doing what we're doing without continuing to take the risk?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that's where a lot of people are, because they see it or they feel it. What you're saying, they're like, okay, there's something to this.
Mm-hmm. So in that kind of case, if people can't get greedy, when the markets are going up, if their portfolio is growing sufficiently that they can essentially lock in their lifestyle goal, either by building something like a bond ladder where they hold specific bonds to maturity, or even looking at things like single premium immediate annuities, they might want to lock in some of their wealth so that they would lose the upside. They're not going to have as much stock, so they're not going to have as much upside because their portfolio keeps going higher and higher and higher. But then at the same time as well, they're cutting off some of the downside and taking away some of the risk that they're going to experience a market drop and have their portfolio not last as long as they live. And so that might help them to sleep better at night, to just lock in a floor to cover some, at least their essential needs, so that
sure,
that will be covered.
No, I think that's well put. And I like the idea. I'm a hybrid. I like using both insurance as well as investment products. And so I like the idea as part of a retirement portfolio to have some fixed income annuities that are built into that, that provide that floor, if you will, that you spoke about, Wade, that and Social Security, to give them that the guarantees of income they can count on, and then build in additional investments to give them, you know, inflation protection and continued accumulation. Because my concern, which you've more than echoed, is that the market takes a hard hit. You're having to draw money out anyway, and when things go on sale, that's not when you want to have to sell. You want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, going forward, best strategy people need to be looking at how they're building their portfolios, maybe do some of this combination of using the various, because there's no one perfect investment. You can agree with me on that, right? I mean, we need to use a combination of things.
Right. Everyone's got a different situation.
And you see very often the mix of these tools, at least I have in doing this work in my practice, I've seen using these various stocks and bonds, annuities, different things together can really help, and it can give a lot of peace of mind.
Yeah, and the research I've done in looking at different ways to combine things, one of the results that was coming out was essentially to build in some sort of floor with the single premium immediate annuities. And then, since you have your basic needs, however you want to do that, but you're going to have a lot of your essential needs covered by this floored guaranteed income, along with Social Security, that then you do have a more aggressive financial portfolio, much more weighted towards stocks, because that's only to cover your discretionary type expenses.
Excellent, Wade. And that also then, of course, gives us an opportunity, which is very relevant today, for maybe reducing some of our bond exposure if we are concerned about the mm-hmm. the price devaluation on the bonds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Wade, it has been excellent having you on the program. You and I could probably talk for another 6 hours, but we will lose my listeners, and they will say that's enough program for one day. Wade Fowle is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, professor of retirement income, the American College, retirementresearcher.com. Wade, we'll have to have you come back.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.